truth of what's going on around us. Okay, if, as you're walking in discernment, you're walking in wisdom to see things the way that they really are. And you're able to see past the natural into that spiritual realm that we live in. Okay, remember just some other examples, things I don't even have in the notes. But remember when Jesus had to rebuke Peter one time? And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He wasn't speaking to Peter, but the spirit of Satan was working through him to try to get Jesus off course. He didn't want Jesus to go and die the death on the cross and be raised from the dead and do all the stuff. So Satan was trying to work through him, and Jesus was able to see that plainly and clearly. And other times he said, "You know not what spirit you are of." And I think he even said that to Peter. He said, "You know not what spirit you're of or what spirit is behind this." Like I said, Jesus could see past the natural and see the spiritual realm behind it. So that's kind of where we're going with this. If we could see what was behind things and see those temptations and things, how much trouble would we be spared? Okay, a lot. Okay, we wouldn't be stepping into stuff that we shouldn't, or we'd be going the right direction. We would know better what direction to go, and we could avoid a lot of trouble. Discernment of spirits is one of the 9 gifts outlined in the Bible. It's something that is freely given to us. Discernment of spirits is what it's called. It is the way that we discern, or it's actually defined as the ability to discern the spirit world, especially to detect the true source of circumstances or the motives of people. Imagine if you knew the motives of people when they're engaging you in conversation and you could understand what it is that's behind that conversation. Somebody comes to you and, "I really think you should do this, this, and this, and this, and this." But and you see it, and on the surface it all kind of maybe sounds good, and so you're thinking, "Okay, yeah, I guess I can do that." But when you spiritually discern where their motives are, they don't have your best interest in mind at all. Okay, it's all about them and something going on in their life, and they want you to do this because it's going to bless them. Politicians, you know, they're famous for that, right? And getting the wrong motives are behind. You know, "Oh, if you'll just do this, it'll all be great." Well, they want you to do this because it's going to, you know, their company that they own over here is going to be blessed. And anyway, it's all the things that are going on behind the scenes that we want to be careful of. Discerning of spirits is something that allows you to experience something that seems bad, maybe not so positive, might be something negative, but rather than becoming frustrated with it, rather than letting it get under your skin, you know, if people come and engage you with something, rather than getting frustrated and angry, you're able to just smile because you see through it. You know what's on the other side. You see what's behind what is causing that person to say or to do those things. If you know where the root of that hurtful statement came from, it helps you to be able to take it with a little more grace. And you can respond then, instead of anger and blowing up and, "Oh, this is horrible," you just see it for what it is and do just like Jesus did and just nod your head, maybe draw in the dirt, you know, do something else, and you're not going to be torn up with it because you'll be at peace with it. A few weeks ago, I had somebody that treated me very nasty. I mean, just foul. And it was a very spiteful kind of stuff, like so much so that it was aimed at nothing less than hurting me and trying to crush me in some way. Well, I was able to see the spirit that was behind that. And I know some of you have been around the spiritual realm enough, or you've heard a little bit about spiritual warfare, those kind of things. There's a spirit of Jezebel, okay, where the woman actually hated men of God, okay? And this woman that was coming at me was in that boat. She knew I was a pastor, and boy, something in her, the spirit of Jezebel in her, rose up, and it was attacking me and just wanted to belittle me. Because a spirit of Jezebel cannot control and manipulate a man of God that knows who they are in Christ. They can't do it because you're able to see that and walk in that authority. And so she didn't like that, and so that spirit was coming at me, trying to belittle me, trying to cut me down, trying to make it so that she could intimidate or control me or get me to do what she wanted to do. But I was able to see it. And so when I could see it, I didn't get mad and blow up and, you know, argue back or any of that kind of stuff, but I could sense what was going on. And I just nodded my head and smiled and kept the conversation going until we got done and able to get through that. Well, from that, I turned it over to God. Okay, and said, "God, you know what just happened? you understand, you need to do something or help out here. And he did exactly what he needed to do. I didn't have to do anything, nothing. But God took care of that situation and made a peace or made amends with that. Okay, it's a way of walking in that spiritual gift of discernment is a way of understanding and walking in the supernatural power that natural wisdom can't understand. Okay, the things of God, the things of the Spirit, they're two different things. And that natural wisdom can't always understand the things of the Spirit of God and what's going on behind the scenes. So it's a supernatural power. It allows you to detect the realm of the spirits and their activities. Okay, and in particular, if you look in the Bible, you'll see lots of examples where they were able to detect the enemy's tactics as he was trying to do it or working through people or circumstances to try to make life miserable for God's people. Okay, it employs the power of spiritual insight, a supernatural revelation of the plans and purposes of the enemy and his forces. You can see, and I mentioned already how Jesus walked in it. He clearly walked in it when he interacted with the prideful scribes and the Pharisees. Okay, they were coming at him, and he knew their thoughts, he says. You know, knowing their thoughts, he responded to them and said, "What is this evil that is in your heart?" I mean, he could see right through to the core of what was causing them to say the things they were saying. Again, with his disciples and some of the other people that were coming to listen to him and hear him out, he would speak a word to clarify something. When he could see that they were getting caught up and, you know, going off on a tangent, he would say, no. He would see and discern their thoughts. Or if they were getting a spirit of confusion or something coming on, he would speak to them clearly and be able to help them through that and clarify what they were troubled about. So with spiritual discernment, why do we need spiritual discernment? Giving you some reasons already to help you to walk in the things God wants you to walk in, not walk into some of the things that you don't. But the same devil that roams the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, is also extremely sneaky. Okay, that's why we need discernment. Because if he just came at us with the big roar of a lion, you can see it for what it is. I'm getting away from the lion. But it's when he is sneaky that we need discernment. The Bible says he is more sneaky or subtle than any other creature that God created. Okay, in Genesis 3:1, our first scripture this morning, remember when God was speaking with Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve encountered the devil, okay, the serpent. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he says unto Eve, he says, yea, has not God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" In other words, he quotes something to her. You know, he heard what God said. And so he said, "Hasn't God said you can eat of every tree in the garden?" Knowing that she was going to answer with yes, you know, that's right. Because what did that do? It just gave her that confidence that this guy might know what he's talking about because, you know, he does know what God said to us. And so she followed along and wasn't able to discern what happened at that point. So he's very sneaky. He asks Eve a question that he knew she would say yes to imply that he knew what he was talking about. If you think of the spiritual devastation that was behind his motives, I think of that scene, okay? Hopefully you guys have all read a little bit of the Bible. You remember the fall of man, right? Okay, so if you think of this scene, the devastation that was in his motives was more than any, ever. He was trying to destroy God's precious creation and the relationship that man had with God at that point. He fully intended to cause God's precious creation to fall. From the very beginning, the devil has been that crafty. From the very beginning, that's been his motive, is to pull you away from God, to destroy your relationship with him. To be subtle is described as being so delicate or precise as to be difficult to analyze or describe. Meaning it's just so, you just can't quite put a finger on it. That's his goal, is to be that subtle. Okay? The devil is so sly about leading you in the wrong direction that without that supernatural gift of discernment, the Holy Spirit gift of discernment, you will slowly and surely go down that detrimental path. It's just a given. Because if we're not anticipating and looking for what the devil is trying to trip us with, we will be tripped. Okay? You need the Holy Spirit operating in your life in order to be safe. The serpent or the devil is more subtle than any other creature that God created. Think about that for a minute. I don't know about some of you guys, maybe you've done some hunting over the years, but when I was in Montana, I could deal with a grizzly bear because they weren't sneaking up on me necessarily. But a mountain lion, those are the ones that would bring the hair on the back of your neck would stand up when you started thinking that you were being watched. Okay, and I in Montana when I was hunting up there, and I've told the story before about the wolf and that kind of stuff, but I won't go into that one. But there was a guy that made the news. He was hunting elk by himself, had a backpack and all his gear and stuff, and a mountain lion stalked him, snuck up on him, and jumped on him from a rock up above. And so, and it didn't kill him. The guy lived through it. It tore up his backpack. The guy got into a ball on the ground, and he ended up living through it. But the point was, he said he knew that he was being watched. He just had that feeling that something was out there that he couldn't see, and that he knew that he was being watched. That's how subtle, sneaky that I think of the enemy of our souls is. He is sneaky like that, waiting for that opportunity to pounce on you. He's more elusive than a fox. I don't know about you guys. When I was a young man, before I knew the Lord, I used to go hunting a lot, different things, but rabbits and fox and coyotes and raccoons and whatever. Where we grew up, this is, like I said, I don't hunt things I don't eat at this point in life. But back then, we used to go out and do this. And we'd go out spotlighting in South Dakota. It was a legal endeavor. You could take your truck and your old four-wheel drive truck and go tooling around on the gravel roads. Every mile, there's a gravel road, right? So you just drive in zigzags up and down the gravel roads with your spotlight out the window. It would shine out there, and you would see the eyes of things and whatever. And in all the years of hunting, I can't remember. I don't even want to tell you how many animals I probably shot. Never once did I get a fox because they were so sly. They were so good at getting away and being hiding and being sneaky. You might catch a glimpse of one and get excited, but that was as close as you were going to get to that fox. They knew better. They were just that good at getting away. Okay, so the devil is like that, more elusive than a fox, more adaptable to the environment around him than a chameleon. Okay, if you think about that, if you've ever seen one that crawls onto a branch and they turn into the color of that branch, the devil is like that. Okay, he will blend in to make it seem like he is not, you know, sticking out like a sore thumb. He's going to blend in to try to get to your life in whatever way that he can. Okay? He can utterly destroy a person's life before they even know what's going on. Okay? Because he is that good, that sneaky, that subtle in his endeavors. Okay? That's why we need discernment. Without it, we will be consumed by the enemy. Even if it is very slowly, he will still be at us all the time. The devil doesn't jump out and just say, you know, hey, here I am. I'm attacking your marriage today. Today's your day. Get ready. You know, he doesn't do that. He slips in a little bit of bitterness over a comment or a past memory that happens. Or he lets a little bit of pride come into the relationship. Remember, only by pride cometh contention, the Bible says. So if there's arguing going on, somebody's thinking more about themselves than they are the other person. He lets a little bit of temptation come in to draw somebody's attention away from the one that they need to be. Or a little bit of selfishness, okay, to let that come in little by little. It's not always all at once. If you ever met a really selfish person, I've met a few in my life, I would 10-foot pole between me and that gal, right? I mean, you're not going to go near them because it wouldn't be that, it would be so blatant, so right in your face that you would know better than to engage in that kind of a relationship with them. Okay, so he presses buttons. He does things to cause an old wound to be reopened. Okay, things that are all, you know, in the past, but all of a sudden, here comes a little temptation, or here comes a little something from the past. He's subtle like that. Not always right in your face, hey, today I'm going to attack your marriage. Okay, huge temptations for your finances. Okay, it'd be easier to spot if they're a huge temptation, right? Anybody ever get one of those checks in the mail for like $250,000 or whatever? It's like a fake check, and it says all you have to do is log on and, you know, yeah, sign your life away sort of thing. Just log on and check the box and we will send you $250,000 at 50% interest, you know? And you can do whatever you want with it. It's a great deal. You know, when we see that, it's like, you know, we're going to tear that up, right? Okay, but the little things is what he gets us with. It's when we're spending our money on little stuff, nickel and dime things, not paying attention, just kind of going through life, and he's got us in a habit, he's got us in a mode where that's just kind of the way that we do things or whatever, and he's got us and he's constantly stealing and taking and causing us to not even see that we're wasting money. It's easy to discern the big temptations, but it's those little ones that we need discernment for. Some would say that figuring things out like that is just kind of common sense. You should just learn and know, okay? But true spiritual discernment is crucial to your walk with God, okay? You're going to get offers, you're going to get temptations every single day that could be just as detrimental as a $250,000 loan at 50% interest, okay? It could be very detrimental, these little things that he's trying to bring into your life. Every single day, the devil is determined to chip away at one thing in particular, and that's your faith in Jesus Christ. If he can get you to steer away from God, if he can get you going down the wrong road and not even know it, he's got you. Okay? And he's just, you know, your life might not even have a bunch of negative, bad things going on, even though the devil's fully leading you, because he's got you right where he wants you. Why would he make a mess of things? You might actually cry out to Jesus. You might actually go back to God, okay? So sometimes it's going to be that life is not all huge bad things happen, but you're still off on the wrong track. That's his goal. He's always wanting to do that, okay? The Christian, nothing could be more detrimental to us than falling away from Jesus, deepening our independence or deepening our dependence on ourselves rather than on God. Okay, the Bible describes a great falling away of the Christians coming up, that as people give up their faith, but that's another message. Not one of us is exempt, try to wrap this up here, but not one of us is exempt from needing more wisdom. Okay, if we think we have spiritual discernment and I understand, I probably don't have enough, right? Because as much as I think I walk in, I know that my wife walks in more. Okay, and so it gives me another, if somebody else has got it, that means it's possible for me. So even though it's my own wife, I'm like, I want to be able to discern like she does. I want to be able to sense things spiritually like that. And in our lives, then we have our pastor and his wife, and they are, you know, in my eyes, they're up here, you know, and I'm way down here. And so I look at them going, wow, I want that much discernment. So there's constantly, I think, more that we can be looking for in our life. But we never get to a point where we know it all, okay? And let me ask, anybody ever heard of Solomon? Okay, from the Bible. He wrote a lot of things. He was known as a man of God that was so full of wisdom that God even said there was none before him and none after him that would be as wise as he was. Yet before God made that statement about him, Solomon was not too smart. Okay, Solomon engaged in things that were not godly, that were not the way that God wanted him to be. He had to learn that he needed that spiritual power, that supernatural power of God in order to walk in wisdom. He had gotten married, if you remember, to Pharaoh's daughter, and he kind of strayed for a little bit. He got off from the finishing and the building of the temple, okay, the house of God. He was still sacrificing, doing the things he was supposed to do, making offerings unto God, but he wasn't doing it in the right places. He was doing it in what they called the high places, which were where the false gods were worshipped. Okay? So he hadn't built the right altar to do it on back where he needed to. He was still doing it in the wrong places. The Bible says that King Solomon went to a place in Gibeon to sacrifice at one of these high places more than 1,000 times. Okay, that meant he was fully entrenched in doing it the wrong way. He had gone that direction and continued to do that over and over and over again. Over 1,000 times he had done that. Okay, the devil had him fully deceived, in other words. He was given into it. That was just the way that it was. The concept was right, but he was going about it wrong. Okay, he was settling for less than what God had intended for him, and he was missing out on what God wanted for him. So God gave him a vision in the night. He gave him a dream to emphasize the importance of using discernment when you're walking with God. Okay, and we'll read this passage out of 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. He's still in Gibeon, and it says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him unto this throne as it is this day. In other words, I'm walking in my father's footsteps. Thank you. He starts with that. And the second, next verse, he says, and now, Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. He says, you know, you put me in my father's place, but I'm like a little child, and I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot even be numbered or counted for the multitude. Give therefore thy servant, he's asking for himself, an understanding heart or spiritual discernment to judge thy people, so that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, and neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, or spiritual discernment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee in all thy days. Now, the scripture goes on, and just for time's sake, I'll tell you that it says that Solomon awoke from this dream abruptly, and immediately he left Gibeon in the high places, and he went back to Jerusalem where the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was, and he made offerings and sacrifices there. Immediately he knew, when God gave him discernment, what he was supposed to be doing. And then it goes on to say that then he makes a great feast for all of his servants in that area in Jerusalem. I think the king had just had a change of heart. He just realized the error of his way. And since he was in a position of influence, he decided to use that influence to set everybody else on the right path as well. So he takes them back, has a big feast, tells them all about it, and says, this is the new way we're going to do things from now on. Okay. In other words, the king humbled himself. And since he was in that position of influence, he implemented that change that would be better for all the people. See, a key to gaining discernment and understanding what's going on around us is to figure out that you don't have it all figured out. Okay? It's figuring out that you don't have it all figured out. Your pride is what will keep you from seeking the wisdom of the Lord. It's pride that says, I can do this on my own. But it's that humility that says, I need God. I need His understanding. After all that Solomon had learned and experienced, he shared some of that insight with us. He learned about the subtlety of the enemy. He learned about how sneaky he could be. And so he gives us an example as he wrote Proverbs chapter 7. The first few verses of that, it says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman and from the stranger which flattereth with her words. He's going to give an example of that subtle spirit. He says, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man that was void of understanding. He was using his gift of discernment to see this. That they may keep thee, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and of subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her own house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. See, the subtlety in her heart was detectable by the Holy Spirit. Okay, the subtlety in her heart and what she was leading him astray with was able to be discerned by Solomon from the outside looking at that situation. He could see what was happening. That young man failed in the gift of discernment. He didn't operate in that moment. Okay? He knows, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what is going on in the hearts of people. He knows what their true motives are, and he can reveal them unto you and show you what spirit is behind their actions. The circumstances in your life are not what they appear to be on the surface. We need to know that. We need spiritual understanding and discernment. Last verses this morning is in James chapter 1. It simply says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In the Amplified Version, it says that if any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or a circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. In other words, humble yourself and say, God, I need to know what to do. God, I need your vision here. I need your understanding. I need you to speak to me, and he will give it to you. It says he gives to everyone that asks of him. That is a prayer that you are guaranteed that God will answer that. So pray for spiritual discernment. Pray for the understanding of what's going on around you in your life. Pray to God to reveal to you what's behind the scenes and ask him to show you how the enemy is trying to attack your life that you may not yet be aware of. He will show it to you. Know that we need spiritual discernment as we go through life. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we're standing and sitting before you, Father, humble as servants of you, as our most high God. And Father, we ask of you to pour out of your Spirit upon each one of us in this room, your spiritual gift of discernment. Lord, we know it's a free gift. We know you've offered and given. And I pray that we entreat it and receive it now into our life so that we can walk in the anointing, that we can walk in your gift, that we can walk discerning the spiritual atmosphere and the things that are going on around us, Lord. Let us not be ignorant of the enemy's devices, but let us see clearly how he is trying to come against us, whether it be with big or with small, subtle things, Lord. We praise you. We give you the glory. Exalt your name in this community and in our hearts, Lord. We pray that you use us in this community as we go forth beyond these walls. Use us in our families, in the workplaces, in the store, or wherever we may go, Lord, that you are exalted and glorified through the work you're doing and have done in our life, Lord. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. As we go this morning, I think Keith has a